Your drive home starts now with Carrie Bickmore and Tommy Little.
Followed by Hamish and Andy. This is Carrie and Tommy.
Welcome to the week, Carrie Bickmore.
Hello.
Happy Monday, Tommy Little.
Oh, isn't it just buzz? It's so nice to see both your faces.
You
How
too.
Are you, Bickers?
Good. You good? Well, I don't know. I can't work out if I'm rested or if I'm tired.
Okay, why?
Because Saturday night, I had my girlfriend here from Perth and we never see each other. Like, we live our friendship. We catch up annually. We have half-finished conversations on the phone with
You're
kids screaming
busy
in the background.
You're both career women. Yep.
But we've had this 20-year friendship, right? So she came over to visit.
Great.
And I took her to a hotel. And we had a night at a hotel together. And we stayed in the same bed. And we watched movies. And we had so much fun.
You
threw pillows at each other. And it was all just so fun.
You stayed
anyway,
in the same bed?
Yeah, but the bed was so bloody big. It's not, she might not have well as been in there. I wouldn't have known.
You stayed in the same bed?
Yeah, that's nothing. Don't. This is not where the conversation's going. Don't take it off track.
Was it saving money on hotel rooms?
Well, no, it's either that or you have these like, no, it was just you could have had two of the queens or an extra large king, and I got the extra large king.
Oh, hang on. So not only you stayed in the same bed, you had the option of two beds, and you went, no, no.
No, because.
No wonder you're unsure of whether you're rested or.
Anyway, growing up, we always shared beds. It's not a
That's
thing.
Because you
it's
were
not,
children.
No. We met when we were 18.
Oh.
We travelled together. Anyway. The
Women
point
are
was,
wild, aren't
we
they?
Slept. I slept for 14 hours. It was the most magical thing. We didn't even go out. I just went to bed. We watched a movie. And
Why
I slept.
Would you when I've got this hot woman in my bed?
And slept and slept and slept. And I woke up and I was like, oh, my God, I've never felt so amazing. And then I got home yesterday and I couldn't get to sleep at night because I'd slept so much. I finally got to bed at 1 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
And then Evie woke up at 3 o'clock and did go back to sleep. So I had 2 hours sleep last night and I'm so tired, but I was so rested and now I don't know how to feel.
Oh, no.
I got ahead of myself and I shouldn't.
What a snap back to reality.
Oh.
So when's your next wild lesbian affair scheduled in?
I'll let you know and you can come.
Hey, I went to I'll tell you about this next, but I went to a wedding last night and I had, you know, when you're a single person at a wedding?
Oh, fun
it gets
times.
Interesting, particularly as you get older. I'll tell you about it next.
Okay.
Carrie Bickmore and Tommy Little.
Hey, Buzz.
Tommy's still freaking out that I shared a bed with another woman. But
oh, there's
it's
been
so
some serious cross examining.
Don't spend too much time thinking about it.
Okay, I'm going to spend a lot more time thinking about it, but that's fine.
Think about the bride and groom that shared a bed last night.
Well,
that's who we're talking. Well, don't think that too much about that either. But let's talk about them.
This makes me more suspicious of what you got up to. My dear friend, comedian Ronnie Chang.
Yes, he's on the project tonight.
Yes.
He's in the country.
Well, he's in the country because he's back to get married. He had his wedding last night. And so a lot of comedians there, a lot of friends there, and it was just beautiful. It was like all family, did great speeches, and it was lovely.
Are the speeches funny? Because everyone thinks they have to be funny because it's a comedian's wedding.
Well, actually, no comics really spoke.
No, but you know, usually the father of the bride's like, ooh, I've got to impress this group. I'll pull out
they
some zingers.
They were just gorgeous.
Right. Oh, nice.
Yeah, they were great. And you know, one of the more interesting parts of wedding is the few single stragglers that turn up, like myself. And you look around.
And they get few and far between as you get older.
Yes. And so times get more desperate.
Yes.
So suddenly there's someone like me standing in the corner because there's no singles table or anything like that. You're just with people that you kind of, you know.
Yeah.
So I was with other comedians. And then there was this one stunning woman from across the room and she kept looking over.
And because everyone's feeling lovey-dovey too, you're like, oh, I need something in my life right now.
Completely. And you know, and my arrogance it also steps into play. So I'm like, oh,
well,
my
she's
God.
She's looking at me.
Who is this despo chick looking at me? And I start investigating and I start asking people, do you know who that is? Do you know if she's single? Do you know what's going on? Because she has given me heaps. And I ended up asking the waiter, I'm like, can you go over that guy next to her? Can you go over and check if their name cards are the same last name? And he was awesome. He was like, yes, sir. No worries, sir. And comes back like 2 minutes later and he's like, okay, I've got some pretty good news. They're last names are not the same. And
oh,
guess
so
what?
They're not together. Right.
And no wedding bands on the fingers. Oh, and he goes, I think.
Gosh, that's a lot for a man to have to find out.
Yes.
But did you tip him good or?
Let's say yes. And then as the night went on, I had a few more drinks. And I think my methods of investigation got less and less subtle. Because by the end of the night, I should
are
have just gone
together?
Up. Well, I just ended up standing like near her or like, you know the lone dog? Do you know the move, the lone dog?
No.
It's where you stand near a woman and you look pathetic by yourself in the hope that she goes, are you okay? And that sparks the conversation.
How often is that working? Never.
Not once yet. Which means
who
it's
due for a win.
Who is
that loser standing behind me looking?
Anyway, we're on a table.
Right.
And then finally, I just went to my mate, the groom, and I said, man, is he single? And he comes back and he's got a big smile across his face. And he goes, look, she's not single, but I think that's kind of lucky for you because if she was, she's a huge Dave Thornton fan, the comedian, one of my best friends. And he laughed and he goes, you think she's been looking at you all night, don't you? And I was like, what?
Oh, no.
She's been looking at my table and at my best mate who's sitting next to me.
Who's got a kid and married.
Who's got a kid and married.
Tommy.
He's still stealing women from me.
That's right.
Remember?
Yes.
Do we say her name?
No,
I don't know.
Say her name.
Okay, yes.
I know. It was another girl that you were really interested in and then she came straight past you into Dave and said, oh, my God, I love you so much.
Yes. And we'd hung out the two nights before
and he
reintroduced me to her and she goes, we haven't met before. happened again.
You're memorable. Oh, no.
You know what I've worked out?
Like, Lucky didn't actually go up to her, though.
I know.
But I think she probably got the hint by all the people asking questions on your behalf. Yeah.
And who's this weirdo staring at me when I'm just trying to look at Dave? You know what I've realised? I need to take uglier friends to weddings. Which brings me to my next question. Buzz, what are you doing next weekend?
Carrie Bickmore and Tommy Little.
Something we need to talk about.
Okay.
But I'm not sure how to talk about it.
Is it your body odour again?
No.
Because I was
I have been trying to do something about that.
I know.
No, it's about swearing.
Is this me?
No.
Okay.
But we can't swear when I can't swear when I'm telling you about something to do with swearing. So please make sure I don't. Because there's children in the car and it involves a child.
Does it?
Yes.
You've been swearing at your kids again.
Well, I was going to say no, but in fact, maybe that's why. Okay, here's the thing.
Just tell me what happened.
Evie started swearing.
Oh,
okay, so
No.
I
love it.
No, because she's only just started getting words in the last few months, right? So
yeah.
We're not that far down the track of her speech for those words to be dropped casually as part of a long dialogue.
Okay,
right?
So I need you to tell me where, when, how, which word.
We came down the stairs, something happened, and Chris dropped the F word.
Oh.
And then I think he dropped something or stubbed his toe or something and he said
it. Okay, he definitely didn't and you've just added that bit to make it sound better.
I think he dropped something or stubbed his toe or something. No, it was something in context is the reason he said it.
Sure.
He wasn't angry or anything. Yes. He did it as you know.
Yeah.
and then I'm sure he'll text me soon and go, well, hey.
Yeah. Oh, geez, you knew it swear then.
This is what I mean. It's a dangerous conversation to have. I'm worried. Yeah. So I've already been questioned once about my swearing on this network.
So yes.
My best behaviour.
So
then she says the word out loud really quickly.
F.
Yeah. And I went, what? And then we did the stupid thing you're not meant to do where we laughed because we were like,
oh. Because she's a picture of innocence.
She's so cute and her big eyes and her. And then she went, said it 8 times in a row.
Did she?
Which made us laugh even more. So then she ran down the hallway to where Grandma's staying in the front room at the moment. And Grandma doesn't swear ever. Had said it about 100 times. They went round the house to every room in the house, to her teddies, to her toys, to her, and the look of delight on her face. And then I said, we have to pretend she's not doing anything funny right now. We meant to pretend we're not impressed and that it's not an exciting word. But what I've realised is I use the word so much because I talked to Ollie about it and he goes, yeah, you say it all the time, Mum. And I'm like, do I? He said, yes. And he said, that's why I don't say it, because I know it's naughty. And I was like, well, that's good parenting. Like, I'll do the things I do. I'll get the tat, so then he won't get the tat. Right. I'll swear, and then he won't swear, right?
You have to start smoking ciggies just so he doesn't. Yeah.
But with her, she's so cheeky. She will do the opposite of what I want. Like, she is, like, next level. It's only a matter of time before I'm out in public somewhere.
Oh, yeah.
She's going to let it go. And she's not letting it fly once. She's letting it fly lots of times.
Yeah, because you've got to, it's a real decision you've got on your hands, because you've got to decide between good parenting and going viral with a video. Because, I mean, it would be, this thing would go off online. You think we chuck a bit of Carrie and Tommy branding under that? The effort kid.
But yeah. They don't think before they speak, because I remember once being at a bathroom with Ollie and I was there on my own with him and I needed to go to the toilet. So I had to take him to the bathroom with me, yep. Went to the toilet, came back, and then the waitress came up and said, do you want to order anything? And he was like five and he said, my mum just did a poo. And the thing was, I hadn't, which really gave me the irrits.
So now you're calling your son a liar.
But that's the thing. I couldn't say, well, no, I haven't. And then him go, well, you have. And then me go, well, I haven't, while trying to order a chocolate milkshake. But I'm trying
to order what I just did.
But because he thinks it's funny to talk about that, that's why he said it, right? So it's only a matter of time before I'm in real trouble with my daughter out in public. I want to know from people, awkward places your kids have sworn.
Oh, great.
Not in the car when it's just you two and you can have a chuckle under your breath, where you're actually thinking, how do I recover from this before someone thinks I walk around the house swearing like a complete trooper?
Yeah. Well, or in front of the grandma.
Or in front of the grandma.
Yeah. Great. I love it.
131060. Sorry, jinx. Buzz.
Awkward places your kids have sworn. We'll take your calls next.
Carrie Bickmore and Tommy Little.
Hi, I'm Mark Boris. Every single day in Australia, people are busting their guts in starting and running their own businesses. It's a big deal. 60% of Australians are hired by small to medium-sized business owners. These guys are doing their bit, buying stock, hiring people, and paying their taxes. So what is it like to start your own business? How do you go from just running a business on the side after work to owning something much bigger? How do you make it your future? Join me on The Mentor, a weekly show on Podcast One where I speak to Aussie business owners who are working through just that. I find out what makes them tick. I help them work out their next steps for their growth and for their future.
The Mentor with Mark Burris. Listen now at podcastone.com.au or download the Podcast One app.
Carrie Bickmore and Tommy Little.
131060, taking your calls, awkward places your kid has sworn.
I remember my mum telling me when I was little, we had an open house when I was about three and I was playing in the sandpit while everyone was coming through the house, and I couldn't say the word stuck, and I kept telling everyone that the truck was something in the mud.
Oh, not stuck.
Over and over, very loudly and proudly.
I mean,
I was very proud of my truck that was stuck in the mud.
So your gorgeous daughter, Evie, is just taking after her mother.
And I know it's inevitable. I'm going to be in a situation where it's going to happen publicly.
Yeah,
at the moment, it's been in the confines of the home.
F-bombs around. Yes.
She started swearing. Monique in Sydney, what awkward place did your kid swear?
My daughter's two. We were in Woolworths at the checkout the other day and she said, F that lady's old mum.
Oh, in context too. That's
And if there's something women love, it's when you
comment on their
geez, they're old. I don't even know if that which bit's worse.
Coming
the swear
from a
word
child
or that coming
too.
From a child. And Monique, how old was she? Yeah, how old was she?
Oh, she was maybe 40.
Oh.
Oh, she's not even old. So the thing is, I need to know, Monique, in this situation, because it's been a long time since I've had a toddler. Do you laugh? Do you tell them they're being rude? Or do you just walk away?
Because she's only two, I just ignore it and try and distract her and say something else.
And what about the really old lady? Does she try and sort it out?
Yeah, but in that situation, like, I wanted to walk away, but I couldn't because I hadn't paid for my groceries.
Oh, thanks, Monique. We got Jessica. Jessica, where was the awkward place that your kid swore?
So we were visiting my partner's nan in a retirement village, and on the way there, my partner dropped his keys, and then he said, oh, S-word. So the entire time we were walking through the retirement village and with my nan, his dad, he was screaming at the top of his lung, oh, S-word, and it just went on and on for weeks.
I know, because when they get a new word, they get fixated on it too.
Oh, he was so excited and so proud, and there was nothing we could do about it. He was so young.
Nan would have loved it, though. Nan would love a little chocolate, something like that.
And for the old folks in the home, it would have been the best show they'd had in
ages. Normally it's Harry doing it down as he walks down. He doesn't even know he's doing it.
Yeah.
You know, it was a breath of fresh air for a little kid to be doing it.
Well, we're going to see Seinfeld tonight, but if they said at the last minute, hey guys, Seinfeld's cancelled, but we do have an adorable 2-year-old who's going to walk through the crowd swearing, I'd be like, I'm not even that upset.
Finally, let's go to Jess in Melbourne. Jess, where was the awkward place that your kid swore?
I was the kid that swore.
Oh.
We were at church and I dropped a book and I went, O-F, in front of everyone.
Church too.
But you see, you could have just asked for forgiveness straight away, yeah?
Exactly.
Do you still swear as an adult or are you good now?
Yeah, I do.
Do you still go to church?
No, not anymore.
Good to see you gave up one of those things.
Carrie Bickmore and Tommy Little.
Oh. Let's do Bickmore's Bits.
It's time for Bickmore's Bits.
Here we go now.
Sorry, Buzz. Carrie hasn't got her headphones on.
Sorry, I didn't know we were on.
Oh, mate, you were just staring at me as that.
I was looking at old photos.
Yeah, you were showing us old family photos.
Well, what are we doing now?
Bickmore's Bits, okay. Mate. This is a segment we do each show where you go through some of the popular news items.
Let's start it again. Here we go, ready? Right across Australia, it's Carrie and Tommy. Let's do Bickmore's Bits.
It's time for Bickmore's Bits.
Here we go now.
Eggs.
Oh, this is seamless.
A popular Netflix documentary is copping a heap of flack for claiming that eating one egg a day is as bad as smoking 5 cigarettes a day. So it's this pro-vegan movie which is trying to explore the link between disease and the consumption of animal products. It's been slammed by health professionals for scaremongering and sort of cherry-picking scientific studies, so picking information to suit their claim that, you know, eating animal products is really, really bad for you. The film's website lists sources that it says supports its claims, but it doesn't make clear that the whole thing is funded by vegans and relies heavily on interviews with vegan doctors. And it's some of the advocates are really well-known celebrities, Miley Cyrus, Liam Hemsworth. I think it was produced by
Joaquin Phoenix. Oh, Jacqueline Phoenix.
So people,
I love her work.
When a celebrity,
Jacqueline.
When a celebrity says, "Watch this," you do, and you often take it, you know, on face value.
Yes, but some of it, it's not just cherry picking. Some of it's just made up. Yeah.
Well, I'm about to die because I have at least 2 eggs a day. So.
Oh, and 20 durries.
Okay, parents want to know if their child's gifted. You're always like, oh, is my kid smarter than the others? I feel like my kid's smarter than the others. You look for signs.
Yep.
I have for you, fact here, how you can tell if your child is gifted.
Okay.
This may be slightly like the segment before, whereas you listen to celebrities and think what they're saying is fact. Don't take this as fact. Take this as me communicating a new study that I've just read that has said, you can tell if your child's a genius by looking at the way they do stick figure drawings.
Yeah, right.
So they've analysed children between the age of 7 and 9, and apparently there are 30 so-called exceptional items that only highly gifted children draw when depicting people. So if you were to draw a stick figure, how would you draw it? What do you put on your stick figure?
Oh, mate, I'm a bad one to ask because I always used to forget to put arms. And then I'd have to make up that their hands were behind their back. Because they'd always ask me, like, where are his arms? And I'm like, he's got his hands behind his back.
Don't laugh. Just saying, you're highly gifted.
Why?
One of the things
only
highly intelligent children depict people showing their head from the side, their hands in pockets, or their hands behind their back.
Little did they know, this idiot forgot the hands.
Some other ways you can tell if your child's gifted, if they draw, I'm not sure whose children are drawing these things, but if they draw braces on their stick figure, if they drew eye makeup, if they drew mucus on their
stick. Eye makeup and mucus.
Mucus.
I think if your kid's drawing eye makeup and mucus, you've just got a snotty mum who lays it on a bit heavy.
Hair on arms. So if your kid's drawing a stick figure and they bother to put hair on the arms, or if they put
can you imagine if
a wallet chain.
A wallet chain.
Do people have wallet chains anymore?
Well, I don't know. Maybe. Imagine if your daughter Vita went, Mom, I drew you, and it's a stick figure with a wallet chain and hairy arms.
And finally, Prince Harry and Meghan Markle are about to get engaged.
Are they?
Do we have wedding music, Buzz? We've got to have some wedding music somewhere.
Buzz is so slow at this.
Just sing. Da-na-da-na. I can sing it. Da-na-da-na.
Well, we have to fill the space because if we have dead air for long enough that it takes Buzz to find it, we will actually go off air. The backup DJ will kick in, the emergency system.
I mean, you probably don't need to find it actually, Buzz, because the truth is they're not about to get engaged.
Oh,
so don't go to all that effort. Everyone's saying they're getting engaged. All they're doing is going on a holiday to Botswana. Can't somebody go on a holiday to Botswana for her 36th birthday without people assuming they are getting married?
That's an engagement place, though.
Why?
Because, I don't know.
It's also a holiday place.
Is it?
This is the problem with the world. Two people go on holiday and they're getting engaged. I hate the pressure that they're being put under.
Why? Well, I mean, okay.
Now there's going to be paps watching their every move. He just wants to take her on a safari.
And propose to her.
He doesn't, but it got me thinking.
Mm.
How often must people go on holidays? Like, how often would you go on holidays thinking, oh, I think this is the one he's going to propose?
Or if he shouts you to a really lovely restaurant.
And you're like, I'm going to wear something extra special tonight.
Yeah.
And then you get there and it doesn't happen.
Yeah.
That must ruin so many holidays, especially if it's a long holiday and you spend the whole 4.5 weeks waiting till the very end thinking he's keeping it to the end so that we can go straight home and tell family and friends. It'll be so exciting.
Yeah.
And then you end up going home with everyone going, and? Nah.
Nah.
But the thing is, sometimes the worst part about that is it's not that he doesn't want to marry you. He just wanted to go on holiday and have a nice time, you know, the pressure.
The poor bloke just wanted to have a week where he doesn't have to propose to a woman.
But I want to ask people, 131060, yeah. Have you found yourself on a holiday where you thought you were going to be proposed to, or even a dinner where you thought you were going to, and it didn't happen?
You know I've had this. I'll tell you about it next. When we get our callers on, I'll tell you about it next. Oh. But I've had exactly this
situation. I didn't know you'd been with anyone long enough that you might have proposed to them.
I probably haven't, but it still happened.
131060. When were you out? When were you on holiday? When you thought they were going to get proposed to? We'll take your calls next.
Carrie Bickmore and Tommy Little.
131060.
See, that'd be a great song to propose to. Falling for you.
Yeah, we're talking about this because Harry's going away with Megan.
Markle.
Is she a Megan?
I think she's a Megan.
Megan?
Oh, I think she's a Megan.
And there's speculation about that he's going to propose.
While on the safari.
Yeah, I thought this must happen.
It's just so much pressure. What if they just want to go on holiday?
Don't you? I thought you were a fan of her.
No, I am. I think they should get married.
Okay.
Really soon. Have babies.
Too much pressure.
And you were saying that you've been in this situation.
Yeah. My ex-girlfriend, she's a gorgeous girl, and we'd been together about a year and a half, I reckon, and we went away, and I wanted to spoil her for a day, but I think I did too much. Because I really,
what did you do?
We got a helicopter to this.
Too much, really. Yeah. Are you on The Bachelor? Like, come on.
Fully. And it, to this day, it's the nicest thing I've ever been a part of, but I would never do it again because.
Well, okay, so paint the picture. So you're in a helicopter.
In a helicopter, and it lands, and you have like that.
Where? Lands where?
Lands, it's not important. Lands.
No. Where? I want to know where it lands.
Lands in like the forest, in like the rainforest, and you have a big, like a
picnic?
Yes, that's what it's called, and a bottle of champagne. But I realized,
and
I thought,
do you swim and stuff?
You swim and stuff. And I thought, mate. I was like, this is so great. And then I noticed her tone change. And I was like, I'm an idiot. How did I not?
Did you almost just do it because you felt so bad?
Oh, if I could have fashioned a ring out of anything, like twigs there and then, I would have done it. But yeah.
It was like Sondra, our producer, was saying a friend of hers, he leant down to get a pebble off the beach and she said, yes! And then he was like, what? No, I was just getting a pebble to skim across the water.
She's mad for a pebble. Okay.
We got Tim in Canberra. Tim, were you ever on a holiday that everyone thought was going to be the proposal?
Yeah, we were in America and we went to the Paris Hotel, this really nice sort of fancy dinner. And after the dinner, my missus was acting real sort of cranky and I didn't find out until we got back to Australia that she thought I was going to propose that night.
Oh.
Yeah, this is why the number one rule, never take your missus to nice places.
I know, right?
Are you still together now?
We are. We're actually engaged now. So
how did you do it in the end?
In the end, I did it in Canberra, just near the lake. So it wasn't anything too fancy. So,
I mean, that lake's nice, though.
It's beautiful.
Burley Griffin. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, it's not Paris, but it's still good. No, it's good, though. Let's go to Shannon. Hey, Shannon, what happened?
My boyfriend of 7 years, we went to Paris, and on the last week, we went to the Eiffel Tower at night, and it was beautiful.
Oh, you've got the scene set already. I'm waiting for
it. And how long have you been together at this point?
It was 6 years at this point, so this is definitely happening.
It's right in the hot zone.
Yeah,
you know, absolutely, this is happening. And then we left the Eiffel Tower, and nothing happened, and I just burst out crying.
Oh.
And then did you pretend it was about something else, or did you say, I thought you were going to propose?
No, at this stage, he knew very much how badly I wanted to get engaged, and I just told him, I thought you were going to propose to me right now. So.
And so what's happened now, Shannon?
Well, we're still together. We've just actually bought a house, so things are good.
But hang on. Things are good. Things are good, she says, which means you're not engaged now?
No, not engaged yet.
We need to remove Paris from everything. I feel like Paris pops up a lot. People think it's the romantic place to do it. No.
You just can't take women to do nice things. No. This is, I've taken you to see the Eiffel Tower.
Get a mortgage instead.
Oh, so I've got to take you. Linda, why don't you finish this off? What happened?
Okay, been with a guy, love of my life, 6 years, went to Italy. First weekend we're there, all dressed up, beautiful restaurant, very romantic. Thought that was definitely going to be a proposal. Yeah, it was a breakup. He broke up with me.
He took you all the way there to break up with you?
Yep. He took me all the way there to say, no, this is not going anywhere. Yep, this is it.
What a waste of money. Who paid?
Unbelievable.
And was the rest of the dinner awkward? Like, was it?
The holiday? I cried. Cried the whole of the evening. That was it. After 6 years, I thought it was going to be, you know, wedding bells. No, it wasn't wedding bells.
Linda, I'll be honest, with these things, it's so lovely to chat to listeners and we love hearing the stories and I always try and finish on a high note, but I'm finding really hard to get a positive out of this one.
Look, we're still best friends.
Oh, that's even worse.
Carrie Bickmore and Tommy Little.
What are you up to tonight, Buzz?
Not a lot. Not as good as what you've got going on.
Oh, we're pretty excited.
I'm very excited.
Jerry Seinfeld.
It's like the Michael Jordan of comedy is a pretty fair comparison.
Is it?
I think so, yeah. I think even if you don't, he doesn't make me laugh more than anyone in the world, but I am so impressed by what he does. Does that make sense?
Absolutely.
And his work ethic and stuff, he's got a great doco.
He's been around for so long.
Yeah, and he's got a great doco that's out about him of when he started to write new material when he was at the height of his fame and he decided he was throwing out all his old material and starting to write it. And he said the real break in his career came when he was walking on the street and he saw construction workers and it was raining. And he was like finding it hard to write. And he goes, if these guys can stand out here in the rain doing this job, of course, this has never happened in Australia. Your tools down as soon as they're. he looked and thought, if they can do a 9-to-5, he goes, I can sit at my computer and treat comedy like a job and write 9-to-5.
Yeah, right.
And that was kind of the moment in his career that then things started to kick on for him.
Didn't he bag? Because he was on stage last night. Last time he came out, he bagged Adelaide, wasn't it?
I believe he called it.
And last night he bagged Melbourne, so I can't wait to see who he bags tonight.
Did he?
Ooh, apparently.
Yeah.
I'm a bit sad I'm not taking my dad. I feel like I regret, not that I regret going with Chris, but I regret my choice. But my dad and I used to watch Seinfeld when I first moved to Melbourne. One of the only things we did together was watch Seinfeld. Every night I'd come home from work and we'd watch TV One or whatever it was on and we'd watch it over and over and over and over and over again. And I've just realised how much he'd really like to have gone.
Oh, he'll be listening to this sitting down. There'll be one solitude tear going down his cheek and go, yes, I would have loved to.
Because I met Kramer and I got him to sign something for my dad and it was like my dad's highlight. He's got it framed on his wall.
Pre the incident?
What incident? Okay. Oh, the Kramer incident. Yeah, it was pre the incident.
Yeah, yeah.
Long time.
Much more valuable if it's pre the incident.
Oh, and he loves Elaine. He loves her in Veep too.
She's hot.
Yeah, she's amazing.
Anyway, we're just fanning
out.
Anyway,
not taking Dad, but I'll be having a great time.
It's good news for everyone, but your dad.
All right, you guys enjoy Seinfeld. I'll be at home watching probably.
You can hang out with Carrie's dad.
Fantastic. We'll see you tomorrow. Bye.
Tommy Catch Up is ready to podcast now on Radio App or iTunes.
Follow Carrie Bickmore and Tommy Little on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram @CarrieTommyShow.